something that's quite prevalent and something that's quite harrowing in most people's minds. And I thought, well, you know, I wanted to do something for a charity, and I thought there's nothing better than actually supporting a charity that I've got such a lot of passion and feelings for. Initially, I was with a charity in Teesside who subsequently folded, but then living in Northallerton, I wanted to try and make it more local. And then I became aware of IDAS, who are based in York, Independent Domestic Abuse Service, and obviously they cover a lot of the North Yorkshire areas for victims of domestic abuse.
So you now very much want to sort of raise awareness. I mean, is it raising awareness of the signs and helping people, you know, family members, friends, be able to identify what's happening?
That's more the point. I mean, you quite often hear about victims, sadly, and you hear about statistics about, there's two women every week are killed, two domestic violence, so on and so forth. But I don't think there's not a lot of emphasis really on a different angle of how it can be tackled. And my take on it is that I feel there are a lot of domestic abuse organisations out there, IDAS, Refuge, National Women's Helpline and various other things, whereby people can turn to. They must be aware of victims in their family who they suspect victims of domestic abuse, you know, because having known a person for so long, You tend to know how they dress and you tend to know how vibrant they may be and how they like socialising. And if all this changes, if suddenly they don't seem to go out socialising anymore because they're staying with their new partner, or there's a sudden change in the way they dress, and if they're not very sociable, very vibrant and talkative again, then there's got to be some kind of indication there something's not quite right. And all I think a different take on domestic abuse is for people to think, oh, this isn't right, but I don't know what to do, as it was in my case. You know, the signs may have been there, but I don't think I really knew what to do. I had the foresight then to actually choose to pick up the phone and speak to someone like IDAS, one of the valued members there, and just tell them, this is what I think's going on, what do I do? I think then I may well have been pointed in the right direction to prevent a lot of things happening, and ultimately prevent, you know, the sad demise of my sister. And, you know, that being the case, if I could have done positive things by talking to a domestic abuse charity, then you know, Becky, she could maybe still be here.
Looking back, I mean, it's hard with hindsight, is it? But looking back, do you notice or were there patterns, you know, with your sister? What did you have any suspicions at the time?
Yeah, well, I saw the usual signs that I'm aware of now, but perhaps not so much so then. If she had a mark on a forehead or something, or if she had a sprained finger or a bruise on it, she'd always have some plausible reason as to why it had happened. And this part of you is thinking, no, that isn't true, that isn't right. But because it's your sister, because it's actually someone you love and someone you've got closeness to, you expect them to actually to be open and be honest with you. And I think that overrides the feelings that you've got and the thoughts that you've got, that there is something more sinister rather than the fact that they're hiding something and saying, you know, giving an excuse, basically, for something that just amounts to domestic abuse.
Of course, that there are different forms of abuse, and it's not just the physical signs, is it? There's, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, people maybe dressing differently, or, you know, there's signs of emotional as well as physical abuse.
Of course there is, yeah. There's psychological, there's emotional. There's the new law has been brought out in relation to controlling and coercive behaviour, you know, and that's something that is quite common, and to be fair, it is quite obvious. You know, if a couple are out, same-sex couples or mixed couples, then you can often see an element of control. It's a bit like animal instinct, really. You see an animal, they're just trying to control and tell someone what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing, or where they can go, where they can't go, and that isn't right. And there's a lot more to it. There's financial abuse, you know, a lot of relationships, particularly as they go further down the line, one person will take over the running of the finances, which is another part of it can be part of controlling. So the person who's not got the financial control, if they're in an abusive relationship, they feel they can't leave because they've got no money, they've got no finances. And it just goes on and on and on like that.
Yeah, so very much looking for the signs and be trusting your instincts. If you feel something isn't right, then, you know, it's worth a call, isn't it? It's not going to cost you anything. You know, it can be confidential. These charities, you know, IDAS is there to help. So even if you just have a suspicion, it's definitely worth picking up the phone, isn't it?
It is. It's like a lot of things, isn't it? You know, if you ask for something of somebody, they can say yes or no. If you say yes, you won't. If you say no, you've lost. If you go and speak to IDAS and say, you think this is going on, ask for advice. And ultimately, if you're wrong, then you may be wrong on this occasion, but that'll stand you in good stead for the future if you come across it again. But if you're right, it puts you on a high, and then obviously you've done something very worthwhile in relation to perhaps, you know, it could be a question of ultimately saving someone's life.